For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Fresh Time Market, we have a healthy obsession with produce. Not only are we committed to offering the freshest selection of organic, seasonal favorites, and Midwest-grown fruits and veggies, but our team members have tips, tricks, and other info up their sleeves. Like, did you know cherries have melatonin? Or that you shouldn't wash blueberries until right before you eat them? Or that when cranberries are ripe, they bounce like a ball. Crazy, we know. For all your fresh produce and unrivaled expertise, stop by your neighborhood Fresh Time today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the first two episodes of Daredevil Born Again, and we'll present an interview with stars Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
And staff writer Jeremy Mathai.
Hey, folks. Thanks for having me.
All right, gentlemen. Daredevil Born Again, at long last, the first two episodes are up on Disney Plus right now. Jeremy, I know you and I talked about this show not too long ago, or about Daredevil in general, because I had mentioned that I tapped out after maybe one episode of the first season of Daredevil and did not catch up with it in the lead up to this. So I just watched these two episodes cold, but you were in the process of catching up on all Daredevil related stuff leading up to this. So I'll ask you first, what are your sort of general thoughts before we get into spoilers, your just general take on the first two episodes so far?
Yeah, so I mentioned before I was doing that rewatch. I came in just under the wire to prep for Born Again. And honestly, I think all that time, all that effort kind of paid off, I think. I think it resulted in a slightly more rewarding watch than I probably would have been if I went in cold like you did. So I was not one of the critics who weighed in on social media about these first two episodes because, one, I've become profoundly allergic to using Twitter these days, even though I feel compelled to remain for work-related purposes. And two, I feel like it's a little silly to weigh in on the first 2 hours of a 9-episode season, as if that's any way representative of the whole thing. All that said, I did very much enjoy these first two episodes. I think episode one gets off to a bit of a shaky start once it knocks off the rust and kind of gets back into the groove of things. It improves a little bit. I very much enjoyed episode two a lot more. It's tough to talk about without, you know, getting to spoilers just yet. So I'll just say, for the most part, I was looking forward to whether this series would prove whether Marvel has kind of figured out, you know, this whole TV thing, which I feel like they've struggled in the past with, even though a lot of people praise previous Disney Plus shows like WandaVision. And I personally enjoyed Loki season two a lot. But for the most part, they've come in kind of hit or miss when it comes to figuring out the art of how to turn a television show into an actual television show and not like a stretched out one long movie kind of thing. Based on these first two episodes, I'm kind of cautiously optimistic that they've kind of figured that out, but we'll see.
Okay. Jacob, what is your relationship to the Daredevil stuff? Did you watch that back when that was on Netflix? And what did you think about these two episodes?
I watched the first two seasons of the Netflix Daredevil. I couldn't bring myself to do season three because there are moments of like stark brilliance in those first two seasons. But man, the pacing on that show is rough. I know a lot of people complain about Netflix shows being, you know, 4 hours of story stretched to 13 episodes, but nothing summed it up better than Daredevil, which was frankly agonizing at times. I just wanted to fast forward through large chunks of that show, and I had a real hard time like enjoying it. Even though the stuff that's good, it's really good. I think Charlie Cox is a really incredible Daredevil. I think Vincent D'Onofrio is really like doing maybe his career best work as Wilson Fisk. And even John Bernthal's Punisher is like the platonic ideal of who that character should be on screen. But I approached Born Again hoping it would resolve the pacing issues. And like I said, I can't judge a whole season of TV based on 2 hours, but more happens in these two episodes in terms of actual events and plot momentum than in like a half a season of the original Netflix show. So I am pleasantly surprised by this. I'm not so sure if this is a show that if it wasn't important for work, I'd be like on the edge of my seat, gotta watch this right now, like I am with, you know, Severance and other current streaming shows. But I did enjoy them. I liked them, and I think that people who are already on board with Daredevil, who already accepted that the Netflix show is something that they enjoy and like, will find a lot to appreciate here, because it is very much the same show, just so far paced a lot better. And I am actually so far the only person I've spoken to who's seen this show who thinks the opening action scene of the premiere is, yes, cheap looking, but very, very fun. So I'm also on board with the action stuff, which seems to be a controversial take at this point.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you guys about that because I think even from the outside looking in, I know that Daredevil is famous for these hallway one takes, and the action scenes are supposed to be some of the highlights of what's gone on in those Netflix shows. And this new series begins with what appears to be a long continuous shot. It's obviously stitched together, but that's fine. I mean, we've seen those things done very well before, and I just thought this one was a little iffy, but what'd you think about it, Jeremy?
Yeah, I fell on the same side of this as you. I was curious to see, you know, it's no secret this show went through a bunch of reshoots. There's a overhaul behind the scenes. And you can tell right from the opening scene, everything is just very much closed off a little bit. You know, it's very much they filmed this in the volume sets that Disney's become very much fond of over these years. And even during the actual fight scene itself, they kind of throw in a little smoke, a little haze, a little environmental effects just to paper over some of the more iffy looking VFX work. But I mean, I find myself a little torn in two, because I do think this was, I think I described this in our Slack channel as like a salvage job, the best possible salvage job that we could have expected, especially since literally every scene that involves Foggy or Karen was not included in the original conception of the show when they first filmed it. So, you know, as soon as you see those two characters in any form, this is, you're watching a reshoot. And so when the fight sequence unfolds the way it does, it is, you know, it's entertaining. It's thrilling in a way, even if it doesn't quite reach the heights of the Netflix series. But I'm sure fans can enjoy it for what it is. Hopefully the knives won't be out a little too far, because the Netflix series did raise expectations pretty high. And I do have a feeling certain fans, at least those of them online and using social media, will have a short amount of patience for whether this series gets off to a good start or not. So I'm very curious to see the online reaction to this one.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into spoilers. And you mentioned Foggy and Karen, and the show kicks off with a bang, which is the death of this Foggy Nelson character. And once again, I have no relationship to this person, and I'm not really familiar with the history that he shares with Matt Murdock, but I thought the scene was pretty well done. Jacob, what did you think when you saw that happen? I mean, that's kind of a big swing to start a show on.
It is a big swing, and okay, here's where I'm going to just be brutally honest here. Foggy Nelson in the comics is one of my favorite Marvel supporting characters. I genuinely love that character. Him and Matt's relationship in Daredevil comics is like top tier. It's one of my favorite dynamics of anybody. Matt and his very smart, somewhat goofy lawyer, best friend and partner, like ride or die law partners and best buds. And the character as portrayed in this iteration of the universe in the MCU, I hate this Foggy Nelson. I hate the actor. I hate the performance. I hate his lack of chemistry with anybody. So as a Marvel fan, I'm disappointed that there's no more Foggy. But as a fan of good acting, I'm glad this guy's gone, because they can use his absence to propel other characters into interesting directions. Well, don't look at his dumb face or hear his dumb voice ever again. So pro Foggy getting murked hard and early.
But Jacob, it's the guy who played Fulton Reed in the Mighty Ducks. Come on. What are you talking about?
So much. He sucks so much, Ben. I try not to be too cruel in this podcast, but he sucks.
What'd you think about that story choice, Jeremy?
Yeah, that actually caught me a little bit by surprise. I didn't think Karen and Foggy would factor too much into the plot of this, being such last minute additions as they were. If they were going to do anything with them, I'm glad they fridged Foggy as opposed to Karen. I don't know. I mean, I'm not familiar with the comics. I don't know if this is going based on a specific storyline or not. But if any of the two were going to bite it and kind of propel Matt Murdock and the rest of the cast to do what they do as that as the season continues, I'm glad it was Foggy. I'll put it that way.
So I wanted to ask you, I guess, Jeremy, since you have this most fresh in your mind and since you've seen season three, how would you compare the first two episodes of Born Again to the previous seasons of Daredevil? Like, is there a dramatic drop in violence, for example, or the tone or whatever? Like, is there any difference in this being on Disney Plus than what Netflix was allowed to do in 2016 and that era, which was supposedly give people this sort of grounded, grittier, almost R-rated version of these characters?
Yeah, this is the part where I think fans, this is the question that fans are looking for the most. Probably this is number one on the priority list, whether Kevin Feige and Marvel watered down Daredevil or not. And on, this is where I have to admit, I mean, I'm not as high on season one as a lot of fans are. I thought season two was largely a mess beyond the Punisher storylines. And season three is actually, it lives up to the hype as it's what seasons one and two should have been, in my opinion. So compared to that, I honestly think it is a step down, in my opinion, but not as much as the internet would make it seem like. I think the action is, it's more brutal than you've seen in the MCU to this point. It hits hard. I think they don't really pull their punches as much as maybe some fans probably expected them to. I don't know if it goes quite, I mean, this whole conversation is a little silly. I think Jacob's pointed this out before, that talking about comic book shows and movies in terms of how violent it is and whether people get teeth punched out of their mouths during a, you know, during a fight or whatnot. This is all for kids. I feel like we've lost the plot a little bit to a certain extent. but if we do have to grade it on that curve, it is slightly below the Netflix shows, but it didn't bother me. I mean, there's more at stake here than the violence, in my opinion, but maybe I'm just throwing a wet blanket on this. I don't know.
No, I think that's right. Jacob, I was surprised by how much of the first two episodes seemed to be about restraint. Like, these two characters, the Matt Murdock character and the Wilson Fisk character, seem to be holding back from their true natures. And I'm curious what you thought about that and how you think people might react to that. Because as Jeremy alluded to, this is only a 9-episode season. And really, for the first two episodes, you've got Daredevil being Daredevil for, I don't know, 5 minutes or something out of all of that. And most of it is like this sort of repression going on there. And it obviously seems like Fisk is trying to go straight by running for mayor, but also you can tell he's the villain of the show. Something bad is coming. So what did you make of the way that the show treated those two characters and kind of held back from presumably what people want to see from them?
Pretty happy, actually, because Daredevil is the most Catholic of all the Marvel superheroes. He is defined by his guilt. He is defined by his self-loathing. And he is defined by constantly questioning himself and his actions. So the idea that the impossibly Catholic Matt Murdock is having a crisis of identity and faith and consciousness throughout these first two episodes is so on brand for Daredevil that if you are a quote-unquote real Daredevil fan, you will appreciate that. I guess it just depends on what you want out of your Daredevil. And I want my Daredevil to be as guilt-ridden and as angst-ridden and as upset as Matt is throughout these two episodes. but yeah, I'm very curious about Wilson Fisk, though. I think Vincent D'Onofrio, like I said, maybe some of the best casting in any Marvel project ever is D'Onofrio in this role. He is just exudes that big baby man menace that I love so much. He just, this overgrown child given too much responsibility. And at any moment, you just feel like he's about to, like, any scene he has with anybody, you can imagine it ending with him breaking their neck. He just feels like he's about on the verge of snapping at all times, even when he's seemingly trying to do good by the people around him. And I just love watching these two characters fight against their natures, and especially how episode two ends. Like, I'm not sure how deep we are in the spoilers here, but I'll dance around it for now, with one character essentially giving in to his true nature finally, and his reaction will definitely prove divisive amongst people who either want that or are dreading it.
Yeah, I think we can talk about that directly because, Jeremy, I was talking with Jacob about this right after I saw this part of the episode, and the idea that Matt Murdock is holding back and holding back and holding back. And then that moment in the apartment where these guys, these corrupt cops, finally drive him to essentially like become Daredevil again, even though he's not wearing the costume. Like he goes full superhero and like breaks arms and all of that. I was wondering how people would feel about that, because I think it's going to be split. I think there are going to be some portions of the fandom that are like, hell yeah, Daredevil's back. He's like crushed that dude's arm or whatever. But then there are going to be people who are like, man, this seems really bad and unhealthy for this Matt Murdock character. Like, this is not something. And I think the show takes that perspective too. Like, the show is not necessarily reveling in that return. It's kind of like, it reminded me of Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven. You know, it's this thing that like is looming and like you're dreading it almost, but then it happens and there's also a catharsis that comes with it, but it's complicated. So what did you think about that whole thing?
Yeah, I think you're right on point there. I have a feeling, again, I feel like I'm putting my predictor goggles on. This is going to be a real litmus test for, I hate to say it, but media literacy among fan bases. Because, again, like you said, some of them are going to watch Matt Murdock finally unleashed, as we've rarely seen him before. And, you know, hoorah, everyone's going to love it. It's going to go full. It's kind of, I think, the Punisher series kind of rode that line a little bit, and I didn't watch that either at the time, so I'm not entirely sure how the fans reacted to that when it was on the air, but I have a feeling we might be in for a little bit of online discourse with this one. Some fans are going to be all this is the Daredevil I want, Marvel's living up, you know, they didn't let us down compared to the Netflix series. And then you'll have the other fans who are actually watching this the way the show wants us to watch it, and it's kind of just, you know, I had a ball of dread in my stomach the entire time. As soon as Matt goes into that apartment and he's confronted by those guys, you could see where this is going. And after fighting so hard to put the Daredevil persona behind him for that entire second episode, and then having to see him, you know, kind of throw up his hands and go, all right, this is my only choice here. And having seen him do it and seeing how Charlie Cox plays that moment, with all this just pent up rage that's just building inside of him, it's really effective. It worked for me, but again, I'm curious to see how people react to that.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Fresh Time Market, we have a healthy obsession with produce. Not only are we committed to offering the freshest selection of organic, seasonal favorites, and Midwest grown fruits and veggies, but our team members have tips, tricks, and other info up their sleeves. Like, did you know cherries have melatonin? Or that you shouldn't wash blueberries until right before you eat them? Or that when cranberries are ripe, they bounce like a ball. Crazy, we know. For all your fresh produce and unrivaled expertise, stop by your neighborhood Fresh Time today.
So, Jacob, I wanted to ask you about the Vanessa dynamic between Wilson Fisk and his wife. Like, that's kind of an unusual thing to see these characters, especially villains, work on their relationship and go to therapy and stuff like that. So what did you make of that? And I guess because I'm not familiar with the history of those two characters, is that something that carried over from the first couple seasons of the original show?
This is where maybe Jeremy's a better person to answer this, because like I said, I fell off of the original Netflix show and I watched Hawkeye, which featured Wilson Fisk, but I skipped Echo, which continued a lot of the bridging material here. So I kind of I'm falling into Wilson and Vanessa, not quite blind, but feeling like I definitely missed large chunks of what could have gone down between them. But I do think the show does a good job of feeling, giving you a fairly clean jumping on point. You can essentially understand that, hey, these two are married, they're having problems, he's been away for a while, and now he's back, and it's causing, you know, their marriage to have issues. So I was able to follow it just fine from a surface level, but I have nothing to say beyond that. But I will say the subplot introduced in episode 2 of Wilson and Fisk needing to do marriage therapy should be a hoot if they do it right. So I hope it continues to be a hoot.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of alluding to Vanessa potentially having an affair, maybe with one of the thugs that we see around the table when Wilson comes in and kind of like scares all those guys out of the room, because she talks about being fulfilled in some way when he was not around, when she was running the organization and all that. So yeah, it's just kind of an interesting dynamic there. Jeremy, you have any thoughts about the Wilson-Vanessa dynamic?
Yeah, this is one I can weigh in on. Having just watched season three, Vanessa does play a pretty large role throughout the season. Season two, she's obviously, you know, post season one, basically, she's separated from Wilson for her own protection. Wilson's in jail. She's in a foreign country, just trying not to get extradited for her, you know, being an accomplice to his crimes. But season three really leaned hard on that aspect of, okay, Wilson Fisk is going to cut a deal with the FBI while in jail to rat out some other members of the criminal underworld in Hell's Kitchen in order to protect Vanessa and potentially get her cleared of all charges and bring her back so they can be reunited. So season three really emphasized the love story between those two. And I think it played dividends too coming into Born Again, because again, this might be a controversial story choice. There's a lot of shippers out there, believe me, who go full to the mat for Wilson Fisk and Vanessa. And at least introducing a seed of doubt whether she was unfaithful to this guy that she kind of dedicated her life to. She took over his business. She's going full villain at this point. She's ordering, at least in season three of Daredevil in the Netflix series, she's ordering deaths or ordering kills like it's nothing. So if she ended up, you know, maybe betraying him in some way, or there's something a little going on there that we're not entirely sure of yet, I think that could be an interesting wrinkle for the season. And I think it's kind of a clever creative choice. We'll just have to wait and see how it plays out.
Well, speaking of potentially controversial decisions, Jacob, you mentioned in our Slack that one of the corrupt cop characters had a Punisher tattoo on his wrist or his arm or something like that. And I was wondering if you were surprised to see that, you know, again, a Disney Plus show. Were you surprised to see a show like this make such a strong political point on ostensibly a family-friendly network or whatever?
Yeah, this is something that the moment you bring this up, you're immediately getting on unsteady ground. And so I'll put this out there. I come from a military family. I come from a family where I know a lot of police officers as well as some family members who are cops. And I am thankful that that they are in that career for the right reasons. And one family member in particular has always been disgusted by the cops who have embraced the Punisher logo as a badge of honor, as you'll see in a lot of police cars will slap it on there as a bumper sticker, or cops will wear it as a badge of honor, because the Punisher represents the failure of law enforcement. He represents what a citizen driven to the edge does when the system has completely failed him. So to see a police officer in the real world embrace the Punisher iconography is to him to say, my job is useless. My job has failed you. And the only answer is violence. It is, you know, it's a bad look at any time, but it's an especially bad look now. And it's to see that the Daredevil show has introduced characters who are violent, corrupt cops, one of whom is, you know, has a Punisher tattoo and is trying to essentially take the law into his own hands, is a very brutal reflection of a reality here of a very unhealthy obsession with this iconography in the real world from law enforcement who should know better. So I hope they go hard on it, because the Punisher's creators have essentially been out there saying, yeah, this sucks. We absolutely did not intend for this to happen when we created this character. And I really hope that it makes the people who work in law enforcement, who think the Punisher logo represents them, I hope it makes them feel very stupid. That's my number one hope for this season of TV.
Jeremy, we haven't seen the Punisher character yet in Daredevil Born Again in these first two episodes, but did you have any thoughts on that? And did you go back and watch the Jon Bernthal Punisher show in your lead up to this?
I watched season one of the Punisher series, which, you know, it was fine, I guess. It got the job done. It gave you a more complicated look at his backstory, which, I mean, I feel like it kind of contradicted parts of what was established in Daredevil, but it's, you know, they had to do something with that show, so whatever. I did not get up to season two just yet, so I'm not entirely sure whether his arc takes things in a different direction, whether that sets up his return in Born Again down the line, whenever that happens. But I, you know, I've always loved John Berthel's in this role. I think it suits him to a T, and I think he's actually co-written whatever Punisher series that was just announced to take place. I think it's like a special or something is the way they described it, to take place concurrently with season two of Born Again. And to hear that he had a big creative hand in that, that's interesting to me. I'm really curious to see how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, from my understanding, it's supposed to be kind of like a Werewolf by Night, like a one-off type of thing, or like the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special, you know, that kind of deal. So yeah, that sounds like that could be coming out, I don't know, maybe next year or whenever season two of Born Again comes out. All right. Well, I think maybe that's, unless anybody has any final thoughts about the show that we didn't really cover, I think we can maybe toss it to Jeremy's interview. This is very short, but Jeremy, you want to set this up?
Can we just quickly say how much fun it is to see Matt Murdock being a lawyer for the season?
Yes. Seriously.
It's very, I like the Daredevil stuff, but I think I may like the lawyer stuff more.
Awesome. The best parts of season one was when it was kind of a courtroom drama, and Matt and Charlie Cox got to kind of flex his muscles delivering those monologues and all that, and stirring the hearts of the juries and all that, and it was great. And I feel like there's a kind of a return to that form, so I'm excited for that too.
Sweet. Okay, so Jeremy, you want to set up your interview?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a typical Junket interview. You're told you have 5 minutes with the talent. It turns into four when you get there on the actual day, and then suddenly you're in the middle of the interview. 3.5 minutes have passed by, and they're telling you to wrap up, so it's not the most in-depth conversation that I've ever had, but being able to talk to Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio paired was kind of a dream come true. They're both obviously such like thinking man's actors. They've really put the thought and effort into figuring out that dynamic between these characters, how Born Again could kind of peel back new layers that we haven't seen between them before. So even in that limited amount of time, I think it was a really interesting conversation.
All right. Well, here is Jeremy's chat with Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio.
Charlie and Vincent, so nice to meet you guys.
Hey, hi, Jeremy. How's it going?
You're doing great. So I was told that's your first interview of the day, so I'm going to try to set a high bar here for everybody else to follow. We'll see how that goes.
You were misinformed, I'm afraid.
Oh, well. So I was actually re-watching the three seasons of the Netflix series to prepare for Born Again. And one thing I kind of noticed about the dynamic between Matt Murdock and Wilson Fisk is the sense that, like, despite a rivalry that I would put up there in terms of Batman and the Joker in the comic book echelon, I feel like you guys never really shared that many scenes together in the broad strokes. I feel like it's, you can kind of count it on one hand. This time around, I want to ask both of you, were you kind of pushing Marvel to like give you more scenes together to kind of like play off each other a little more? Or do you think there's kind of like a power and restraint and just leaving us wanting more?
I think Charlie and I both feel the same about that question you just asked. You want to explain why?
Yeah, it's a great observation. We've talked about this a lot, actually. I think that on a personal level, we love working together, and it's such fun. And those days, you know, I long for them, actually. And you know, bringing these two iconic characters together and the fun that we have as actors portraying them is the best. I think that you're right insofar as you have to think of these characters as like an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. When they collide, it is explosive. And we have to maintain that, those stakes. So if you bring them together too often, where nothing happens, rather than just a kind of conversation, then you start to lose those stakes that we talked about.
Now, Vincent, like one thing I kind of appreciate about both of your performances, but especially you, Vincent, you kind of have this pent up rage just kind of simmering underneath you. And this season introduces a whole new wrinkle where, you know, Wilson Fisk is a politician now. He can't let those violent urges out as much as he used to. I just want to talk about, did you have conversations with Marvel, with the directors, with the writers, with even Charlie, about both of you kind of portraying that rage simmering underneath you guys, but in very different ways?
It's become a in my execution of the character, it's it's part of the execution to have something simmering underneath a strong emotion of some kind that I'm suppressing. It's usually, I wouldn't exactly call it rage, but it's reactionary to events that have happened before in my life. And so that is all simmering underneath. It's true. I think that's that character, when he speaks and when he does things, I think that it's vital that there is that kind of, his foundation is broken and that can be turned dangerous.
Well, that's all the time I have for you guys today. Thank you so much and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, sir.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about Daredevil Born Again at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Fresh Time Market, we have a healthy obsession with produce. Not only are we committed to offering the freshest selection of organic, seasonal favorites, and Midwest-grown fruits and veggies, but our team members have tips, tricks, and other info up their sleeves. Like, did you know cherries have melatonin? Or that you shouldn't wash blueberries until right before you eat them? Or that when cranberries are ripe, they bounce like a ball. Crazy, we know. For all your fresh produce and unrivaled expertise, stop by your neighborhood Fresh Time today.